Welcome to Catechism 2021. This is the 18th Lord's Day. There's a bunch of questions today, so I'll pray and we will get right into it. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ, mindful especially now of his ongoing ministry in heaven, interceding for any and all who would draw near to you through faith in him. Father, bless our time together. In Christ we pray. Amen. All right, the Lord's Day, number 18. Going through the different phrases of the Apostles' Creed, and today we come to He ascended to heaven. Question 46. What do you mean by He ascended to heaven? That Christ, while His disciples watched, was lifted from earth to heaven, and will be there for our good until He comes again to judge the living and the dead. And here you have some cross-references in here, and of course all of them are good, all of them are relevant. This one in Hebrews 7, 23 through 25 is particularly powerful. If you'd like to go there first. But notice the two key elements of the answer to this. What does He ascended to heaven mean? Basics, fundamental basics of what that means. Number one, this was eyewitnessed by the disciples. Christ crossed over from this visible realm to the invisible realm, from the earthly realm to the heavenly realm. He was lifted up from earth to heaven, and that's the first. And then the second is this, He's there for our good. He's there for the good of His people, any who would come to Him through faith and repentance, who belong to God through faith in Christ, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have been delivered from their sins. He is there ministering as their great high priest in heaven. So, He ascended, He went from earth to heaven, and number two, He's there for our good, for our benefit. He's there serving as priest. Question 47, but isn't Christ with us until the end of the world, as He promised us? Christ is truly human and truly God. Okay, now that's a good place to start. Ground any thinking or any theology of what Christ does and how He does it in who Christ is, right? It's grounded in who He is. Christ is truly human and truly God. In His human nature, Christ is not now on earth. What that means is His resurrected body, His glorious body, is not in this realm. It's in heaven. But in His divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, He is not absent from us for a moment. Christ is not limited in where He can be and what He can do in any way because He is truly God. As to His human nature, His human body, His resurrected human body, that is in heaven, but His spirit and His presence is with us and in us. We are His people. 48. And that should bring to mind just the very nature of salvation. When you think about the fact that by faith you are united to Christ, well, how can that be if I'm here on earth and He's in heaven? Well, it's a spiritual reality. You are spiritually united to Him. So even though He is in heaven, you are in Him and with Him and united to Him. And from the other direction, even though we are on earth, He is with us and in us and dwelling with us. Question 48. If His humanity is not present wherever His divinity is, then aren't the two natures of Christ separated from each other? So this question is based on the criticism that has come throughout history, an accusation really that if you're saying that His divinity is here on earth, but His humanity is not, isn't that some sort of weird separating of Christ's two natures? No, it's not a weird separating of Christ's two natures. Certainly not. Since divinity is not limited and is present everywhere, it is evident that Christ's divinity is surely beyond the bounds of the humanity He has taken on. At the same time, His divinity is in and remains personally united to His humanity. Real quickly on this, and I think I could express this in a simple way, the doctrine of Christ is that He is both fully man and fully God, both natures in one person. But the human nature does not become divine, and the divine nature does not become human. Rather, the human nature remains what it is, a real human nature, and the divine nature remains what it is, a real divine nature. They do not start to morph into each other and become a strange third thing altogether. The human does not become divine. The divine does not become human. Rather, what you have in Christ is a human nature and a divine nature perfectly united in the one person of Jesus Christ. So, no is the answer. Certainly not, as Collins puts it. The two natures are not separated. Here you go, some cross references. Now, question 49. How does Christ's ascension to heaven benefit us? That's always a key question. That comes up throughout the Catechism. You look at the doctrine and what it is, but then how does it benefit us? The way we would say that today is, what's the practical application? What does that mean for the Christian life? What use can this doctrine be for us? Well, first, he pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of his Father. That is the only way we stand before God. That is the only way we're acceptable before God. It's the only way our prayers are acceptable. It's the only way our good works are acceptable. It's the only way a sinner can become acceptable before God, is if the living Christ pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of his Father. So, how does Christ's ascension to heaven benefit us? Everything. Everything for the Christian life. Because if he did not go there, then we would have no salvation, because it's from there that Christ saves. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ our Lord will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. That's simply speaking of our future inheritance of resurrection and dwelling in heavenly glory with Christ forever. So the fact that he's there, he is the first fruits, he's the first part of this resurrection harvest, is one way to think about it. And Scripture talks about it that way, 1 Corinthians 15. But his presence in a resurrection body in heaven, in the presence of God, is a guarantee that all those who come to him in faith will also have a resurrection body in heaven, in the presence of God. So he pleads our case. It's the guarantee of our future glory. And third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. So we have the Holy Spirit within us. Well, who is it that sent that Holy Spirit? The risen Christ. The risen Christ sent that Spirit into our hearts to give us an internal understanding of the promise and the hope that we have. Guarantees us the inward witness, or the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. You could call this perspective. What is it that shapes our perspective on earth? What is it that shapes our perspective, the decisions that we make? What is it that shapes our perspective on how we spend our money, how we spend our time, what we purpose to do in life? Everything about our perspective in life should be shaped by looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. Well, where is Christ? He's above. He's in heaven, sitting at God's right hand. And so there you have all kinds of practical application from the inception of our salvation when we come to faith, to the end of our salvation, or the goal of our salvation, resurrection glory. You have Christ pleading our cause in heaven. You have his very presence and resurrection body in heaven as a guarantee of that very same thing for us in the future. We have his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the ascended Christ, in our hearts, giving witness and guarantee to all that is ours in Christ. And you have this, all of this whole reality of Christ reigning in heaven and living in heaven shapes our perspective about everything. And here you have just a couple of cross references. Here's your memory verse for this week, Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And I did not map it out this way, but as it happened in God's providence, just 2 days ago on our Wednesday night Bible study, this was our verse. Well, we had a passage, I believe it was verse 20 through 28 of Hebrews 7, But this was the main verse, Hebrews 7:25. And you can go look on that on our Facebook page or our website and find it's a Wednesday night lesson, and it is called Jesus Saves. Jesus Saves. If there's any, if there's ever been one lesson that I've tried to do that would end up summarizing everything that I strive to be about and want to be about and pray that God would make me about as a man, as a pastor, it would be that Wednesday class I just did 2 days ago on this Hebrews 7:20 through 28. And focusing on 25, Jesus Saves. And so check it out if you're interested at all. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We recall all that you've done for us, coming from heaven to earth, to share in our situation, to redeem us out of it as those under the curse of sin and death and the law. Your righteous life, your sacrificial death, your glorious resurrection, your glorious ascension, and giving us your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. God the Father, we worship you, we thank you. We remember you. Help us to remember you. Help us to have faith. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. All right, God bless you. Check out tomorrow, Confession of Faith 2021, week 18. And next week, I'll see you on the 19th, Lord's Day. God bless.